evening, ladies, gentlemen, theys, and gays. This is The Real Pineapple. This is your humble host, Hunter, here. Hope you're all having a great night, day, weekend, whenever you're checking this out. Happy New Year to y'all, by the way. We've been off for a couple weeks because of the holidays and everything, but very happy to speak with y'all. Hope you're all having a good one. So, all right. I am talking about today Sound of Freedom, which is directed by Alejandro Monteverde is what I'm going to go with. He has directed he directed a film called Little Boy, which, given the context of this movie, and was a producer on a film called Bella and Crescendo. And this film stars Jim Caviezel playing real life person Tim Ballard. You know Jim Caviezel from the Ballard or Lefty Brown, the Thin Red Line, Count of Monte Cristo, Frequency, which he did with Dennis Quaid, and of course Passion of the Christ, and most likely also what was the other thing, Person of Interest, which he was on there for five seasons actually. So they're doing another Passion of the Christ, apparently. Passion of the Christ Resurrection was an original title. So all right, I'm going to be very blunt and honest with y'all. I saw the trailers for this movie, and I just remember thinking, oh, wow, manipulative as shit. That's what this screams. This screams manipulation, agenda, all those fun things that come with these pure flicks type offerings. And it was back in 2019 when Unplanned came out. And if y'all have not listened to my review of Unplanned, it is up on the channel. You should check it out. And I remember when to be a little vulnerable with y'all, that was when my co-hosts, Colin and Scott, Colin decided that he no longer wanted to do the podcast because he wanted to go ahead and be super dad, which he's an amazing dad, by the way. And Scott was going back to school, finishing his degree. So there, he was just like, dude, I got to step away. I was like, totally get it. So that was really when, that year in particular, I remember really being like, okay, I have to figure out if I want to do solo reviews or not, and if I'm comfortable doing solo reviews or not. And looking back on that Unplanned review, that is maybe the review I always credit with making me go, oh yeah, I'm comfortable doing solo reviews. Because that was like an hour-long odyssey of me just expressing my genuine anger over a topic that is so misinformed by that film that I truly find it disgusting. And honestly, y'all, that's exactly where I land on this. This is a movie about sex, child trafficking. And at the end of the day, I just thought, okay, so what's the message? That this is an issue? We know this is an issue. It's a very disturbing, terrible issue. No one is fighting you on that. But you get someone like Jim Caviezel to go ahead and play Tim Ballard. That's a very intentional choice. You get Jim Caviezel because of his politics and because of his name in the conservative realms of Hollywood. That's why you get Jim Caviezel. You can deny it all you want till the cows come home, but you cast Jim Caviezel for a reason. And it damn sure wasn't his acting ability. Because my biggest issue straight out the box about this movie, before I even get into the politics of this movie, Jim Caviezel sucks in this. He is not a good actor. And I remember seeing him in, what was that movie of J-Lo? Angel Eyes. And I actually think Angel Eyes is a decent flick. But I remember just sitting there going, man, he is just kind of emotionless in this. And even playing Jesus Christ, I mean, he just has to sit there and get nailed, giggity, to a fucking cross. Like, he comes across very, you know, like the cross, wooden. And watching this movie, I went, okay, given the subject matter, given the sensitivity of the subject matter, I would really think that he would be able to click into a gear that maybe we haven't seen from Jim Caviezel yet. And there are points in this movie where he's laughing awkwardly. He barely shows emotion given the context of what he's going through. Like, there's a point where he saves this kid and he's having a conversation with the kid and they're like sitting there having a burger. at a place called American Burgers, by the way, which, Jesus fucking Christ, could you be more subtle, movie? But, and I'm sitting there watching it going, okay, he's talking to this kid who just went through this traumatic fucking experience. I would think he'd be able to, you know, sympathize and like maybe shed a tear or something, and he can't do it. There's one point in this movie where he does cry, and they put the camera on him for maybe 2 seconds before they cut away. And I just started laughing because I went, okay, he probably tried to cry in multiple takes and they just couldn't get anything. And that's probably the best take they could get. And that's really my biggest, one of the biggest issues with this film is that, again, given the subject matter, he should be more emotional. He should be more invested. He should be more angry. He should be fucking furious at what is happening to these kids. And it comes across so lackadaisical, especially near the end where he's having to save this one kid who does have a connection to the kid that he saved earlier in the film. And it just, it comes across really fucking lazy. So this movie starts off with Tim Ballard. He's working for the Department of Homeland Security. And he goes ahead and he discovers this guy who is wanting to go ahead and, pedophile. Yeah, that's the short of it. So, Mr. Oshinsky, that's his name. And so he goes ahead and he catfishes him, basically. He's like, oh man, I need to, like, you know where kids are. I would love to be able to go ahead and, like, do what you do. And I read your book. This guy wrote a book, apparently. They just kind of, you know, throw that in. But, you know, he buddies up to him. He's like, dude, I need to know how you live. I need to know how you go ahead and get in these circles, yada, yada, yada. And so I will say the guy who plays Mr. Oshinsky, Chris Avedisian, that's what I'll go with. I actually think he comes across as creepy. He kind of gave me, Tim Curry from Criminal Minds. He gave me those vibes, if you remember his, the killer who attacked in the dark. Kind of gave me those vibes. And so I thought that initial interaction, I was like, oh, this actually might be something. And as soon as I thought that, the movie was like, haha, fuck you, it is. And so once he turns on him and goes ahead and gets him thrown in jail, the movie goes ahead and takes off proper, which is where he discovers this kid who's known as Miguel, but his name to this guy is Teddy Bear, which, you know, fucking gross. And so Tim goes ahead and makes it his mission to go ahead and not just save Miguel, which he does, but go ahead and save his sister. And so here's where, just from jump, I'm like, oh God. Like I said, I will give the movie its credit. I think the first 10 minutes are fine. But once he pretty much gets past, we get past Miguel, who, by the way, is the best fucking actor in this movie, played by Lucas Avila, best actor in this movie, and it's not even fucking close. When he's having to go ahead and kind of, like, portray the trauma, and, like, he even has this, like, little shake that he has when he's talking to Jim Caviezel, awesome. I mean, not awesome given the circumstances, but as far as his performance, fucking great. He was the one thing in this movie I actually fucking bought. And the problem is with this movie in particular is that so many kids are left nameless, and we don't know these kids at all outside of the fact of them literally being plot devices. So it's hard to really be invested outside of the fact that, you know, these are kids that are being sold in the sex trafficking. Right there, the film doesn't do its job, because I was really sitting there. I was like, okay, I really was invested to an extent, not super invested, but I thought the Miguel kid did a good job. But what the big journey is, as far as Tim is going ahead and finding his sister. I can't think of the sister's name. I can't find her on IMDb either. So, but he's wanting to go ahead and find her. And so they end up going to Honduras, I believe. Here's the other issue, or one of the other issues of this movie. There's no semblance of time. Shit is just happening. And I'm like, could you please give me a fucking, we're in Honduras, we're in, you know, Tijuana, we're here. Like, could you tell me where the fuck we are? But the film doesn't do that. And there's no reference of time at all. So it just feels like a really giant blob. And while these pure flicks films are rarely well written, one thing I really found myself thinking is, Tim has, I believe they say 5 kids in the movie. Never brings up his kids. He's never, like, anyone that he is talking to in terms of trafficking, he never brings up his kids. He never brings up his wife. And these are people he's going on these insanely dangerous missions with. I'm not saying they need to have a whole fucking, like, oh, here's my family. But I was sitting there thinking, okay, you could very easily have a scene with him before he goes to find Miguel's sister, where they're around the dinner table and he's talking to his kids about the severity of this. Just to hammer home the fact that he understands that this is a big fucking deal and to put some emotional weight on it. But Tim is just, and I really do feel like this is written intentionally like this, which pisses me off even more. We're supposed to be Tim. This is conservative Rambo. That's basically what this is. And even that's unfair to Rambo, because Rambo actually has, you know, violence and actually has a fucking plot. But that's, I would almost bet you money that's what this pitch was. Like, how can we make conservative Rambo? But the problem is, we know so little about Tim. We know so little about him as a person. He's not a character. He's a fucking avatar. Which, again, I think is the point of this movie. I think that's exactly how, who are the morons who wrote this, Rod Barr, almost sounds like a made up name, and the director, Alejandro Monteverde. I would almost bet you money that's how it was intended to be written. And by the way, this is Rod Barr's first movie. Dude, holy shit, this is your debut? This is like, this is the first film you write? Jesus fucking Christ, literally and figuratively. There's a point where Tim is talking to this other dude that he ends up working with to go ahead and kind of bring everything down. Bill Camp, who plays Vampiro. You know Bill Camp from The Burial, 12 Years a Slave, Birdman, Wildlife. I was shocked he was in this. I was like, really, dude, you're in this shit? So they have this whole speech. They have this whole speech about the kids. He's like, why are you so invested in this? Why do you care so much? And in the most emotionless delivery I think I've seen in a film that came out in 2023, I couldn't believe it. I actually had to rewind the scene. Jim Caviezel looks him down. The camera zooms in and he goes, God's children aren't for sale. And I just went, fuck you. Like, oh my God, it's so bad. And before I get back to his acting, can I just say real quick, I know that some people would use the cover of Everyone's Got Children, but I'm sorry, Muhammad's kids are for sale? Buddha's kids are for sale? The grossness of saying God's children aren't for sale feels so, like, it feels so niche in a very gross way that I went, oh, so if you don't believe your God, then your kids are for sale. That's how I took that line. And I know that people will go, no, that's not how they meant it. That's exactly how they meant it. And I just rolled my eyes when he dropped the line. And the delivery is bad as hell, too. And I haven't even gotten to all the, you know, the scandal shit stuff. But let me just say this. Mel Gibson is a producer on this. Mel Gibson's a piece of shit. No one is saying that he's not. However, but I was sitting here thinking about this movie going, you know, Mel Gibson being a producer on this, if you'd gone more of the Get the Gringo vibe and actually had some fucking action in this, because let me get this out of the way, there is no action in this. There is like one action scene near the end and they fucking cut you off at the knees on that. But I will go ahead and get there. But this is weirdly something that Mel Gibson, I don't even want to say could have made work, but I think Mel Gibson actually would have brought intensity to this character as far as Tim. That Caviezel just, I don't know if that's a gear he just doesn't have or if it's the script. It's probably both. But holy shit, just the lackadaisical nature of these lines that he's given and the way that he's delivering them, and they're supposed to have this impact, and they just, they come across like a tepid applause instead of the anger that he's supposed to be feeling. And again, that is why I can't understand, in a film that's over 2 hours, it's like 2 hours, 10 minutes, I couldn't fathom why there isn't a scene with him and his family so that we have some emotional attachment to this motherfucker. But again, it's written specifically so that he's an empty vessel, which, again, why the fuck should I care about his journey outside of the fact he's going after sex traffickers? Like, that's not enough. I need to be fucking invested. And this takes me back to something like, oh God, when did it come out? I think it was 2015. Spotlight, where Spotlight talks about, you know, how incredibly terrible these scandals are involving the Catholic Church and organized religion as a whole. Tom McCarthy does a great job writing that movie along with Josh Singer. You know Tom McCarthy, by the way, from a couple things, but I'll just throw out a couple. But Stillwater, Spotlight, Christopher Robin, Win-Win. Those are all good. And then you know Josh Singer from, he was a screenwriter on Maestro, The Post, The Fifth Estate. That movie does such a great job of not just portraying the kid, the adults who, you know, were kids when they were sexually assaulted. It goes ahead and plays, you feel like they're characters. I think about that one scene with Ruffalo's Michael character, where he's talking to that one kid in the park. And I haven't seen Spotlight probably in, God, I haven't seen it probably since it came out. So it's probably, it's been, what is that? 9-ish years, 8-ish years, 9-ish years. But I remember that scene where Ruffalo's talking to that guy in the park, and he drops that line of, you know, I always had a feeling I was gay. I really wish that I hadn't been molested so that I could have actually figured it out on my own. And I'm paraphrasing the scene. But that's a powerful fucking line. That's something that still sticks with me, you know, fuck, 8 years later, and I haven't seen the film. I just finished watching this 3 hours ago, and I'm sitting here struggling to think about anything I fucking liked about it or anything that's memorable about it. There is, I think this is a character, Crystal Aparico, who plays Rocio. She's like kind of like the person who gathers all the kids up. But again, she's so ill-defined. Like, this is what I keep coming back to as far as an issue, or one of my several issues, is that so many of these characters, they're introduced by like a title card. And not like an actual title card, but it's like, oh yeah, they're this, they do this, boom, we're gone, moving on. But none of these characters are two-dimensional. They're damn sure not three-dimensional. I mean, our main character isn't, so why do you expect any of these people to be? But there's no sense of their motivations, there's no sense of where they came from, there's no sense of where they're based, there's no sense of their allies. There's nothing. There's just nothing to grab onto. They're just faces to go ahead and, you know, relay this message that child trafficking, you know, that child sex trafficking is wrong, which, duh, we all know child sex trafficking is wrong. You gotta give me more than that. And I don't understand why people are content with the table scraps of this film, because that's what this is. And when I think about something like Spotlight, I'm gonna go back to Spotlight, because I think that's a very apt comparison. This film, at no point, let me say this again, this film at no fucking point has the actual gall to talk about one of the biggest issues when it comes to child sex trafficking, and that's here in the fucking United States. It is not mentioned until about 20 seconds before the credits roll, and I just went, wow, fuck you. Considering we say we're number one, this movie didn't even have the fucking balls to actually talk about one of the biggest areas in which this problem originates. And I could not believe that, because I was sitting there the whole time thinking, you're going to talk about the U.S., right? You're going to talk about it, right? You're going to bring it up at some point. You have to bring up the United States. And the movie just goes, nope, not till the end. And now, I can't prove this, But if I were to venture a guess, the fact that Jim Caviezel is a devout Catholic and considering all the issues with the Catholic Church, not a place you want to be on a playground in. yeah, it's probably that. They probably didn't want to touch the issue because of who they had starring in it. So then my next question would be, why the fuck are you making this movie if you're not trying to make it authentic? I know the words based on a true story are on there. I know that's like that's the big loophole. Like, we can go ahead and if there's even one thing that's remotely true, we can go ahead and say it's based on a true story. But considering the narrative around this film, this is where I got to get into this. Considering the narrative of this film, like the liberal, the Hollywood elites, they don't want you to see this movie. They're trying to silence the film and, you know, like they're putting curses on the film or whatever, you know, Pizzagate and all the other bullshit that they're saying. If that's the case, if you feel like the Hollywood elites are trying to ban this and all that, wouldn't you want to make the most authentic film possible to go ahead and relay your message? Wouldn't you think? You would think you would want that, right? You would want a message to actually rally people and get them to show support. And the fact that this movie is so crowdfunded, whether it's, you know, just individual tickets or churches buying out screenings and all that, and the fact that this is what they got, it's like, wow, can I get my money back? There's a level of grossness on that level that I don't think is being talked about nearly enough in regards to this film. And the thing is, I know some people will say, well, Hunter, you have to separate the politics from the film. Here's the thing with that. When you have a film that's funded by people's money, by the public's money, you don't get to make that argument because people are directly funding this shit. So people being emotionally invested and going like, why did I get something better? People have every fucking right to ask that question. And then that brings me to the whole scandals involving the actual Tim Ballard. So Ballard already had QAnon allegations against him, which, you know, that's, you know, that's not great. My God, like when I saw that, I went, oh, fucking course. But then he also had he had sexual assault and misconduct allegations during these actual fucking missions, which led to him being removed from the organization, which, by the way, real quick, as a black person, the fact that this organization is called Operation Underground Railroad, if someone is using a term like that, that is connected to the enslavement of black people who built this country, by the way, you're welcome. If the fact that he's using that isn't a giant enough red flag, I don't know what to fucking tell you. Like, really, people, like, and this is, okay, this is where my frustration comes in, because we're in an election year. And I know some people are already rolling their eyes. If you are, turn the podcast off. I don't want your fucking listens anyway. But we're in an election year. And this is where sharing shit that you're not verifying is really important. This is why if you're just going to share something that looks like clickbait, actually take the 5 minutes and do some fucking research. Because the 5 minutes of research I did on this movie got me all this shit about Operation Underground Railroad and about Tim Ballard. Several of the producers, including Paul Hutchinson and the fucking film funder, Fabian Marta, have both faced separate accusations of inappropriate behavior, including child kidnapping. The later charge was dropped against Fabian, but child kidnapping about a movie about sex trafficking. Really? Like, people. And look, I love my parents. I love them to death, and I'm sure they'll be thrilled me bring this up. But we had a huge argument about this movie. My mom was like, "Why are you being so shitty about this?" And I laid out these examples, and you know, she did her research because she's smart. And all that to say this: no matter who you are, no matter if you have, you know, 10 people following you on Twitter or social media or whatever, or if you have, you know, 100,000, you have a voice. And what you share is fucking important. And so if you're just sharing stuff willy-nilly without doing your research, because I had several of my friends sharing this stuff about Sound of Freedom, about how this is a movie they, unquote, don't want you to see, and this is a movie for people who want to make a difference, and da-da-da. At the end of this movie, there is no link to visit. There is no suggestion on who to send money to, because it's not about actually solving this fucking problem. All this is about is lining these people's pockets, because at the end of the day, they're telling you about an issue that you already know. And if you had been paying attention since, you know, cinema was a thing, there have been movies for decades that have pointed out this exact issue. You know, just off the top of my head, I think back to I Am Jane Doe, which came out in 2016. That's a Netflix documentary. That's on fucking Netflix. You know, watch that shit. There's, Sex Trafficking in America. That came out in 2019. That was a PBS Frontline documentary. That was really well done. A fucking Mad Max Fury Road is technically about women being trafficked. Like, if you take the half second to think about it. You know, I mentioned fucking Spotlight. That's another example. That's an Oscar winner for Best Picture, by the way. And again, I know that there are people who are gonna say, oh my god, you know, this is the movie they don't want you to hear, and, you know, Jim Caviezel, so what if he's a QAnon, you know, he has that QAnon type belief that sex trafficking is ran by the elites. I'm sorry, what is Donald Trump? The motherfucker had a gold toilet. I'm sorry, didn't Matt Gaetz allegedly have shit happen? Like, give me a fucking break. I'm sorry, Republicans, aren't you the ones who are rolling back child labor laws as far as how many hours kids can work and how late they can work? And I'm sorry, aren't you the ones that keep not wanting gun legislation to get passed so we could stop having kids getting shot, you know, shot in fucking schools before lunchtime? I mean, I know there's a narrative around this film, but it's like, if you really cared about child trafficking, shouldn't you care about kids, period? Like, that's the floor, right? Like, we should care about kids, period. And yet, the way y'all vote, the things that you say go exactly against the message of this fucking film. So, which is it? Do you actually care about kids? You don't. Or is this just a fluff piece? Is this all about making yourselves feel better and boosting your own egos? I'll let you decide which one it is. And this falls right there if unplanned in 2019 when that came out. I know I mentioned it earlier, but this is just another one of those movies where it's like, all right, let's just tick the conservative movie checklist here. Moral panic, check. Hints of vast leftist conspiracies, Pizzagate, check. Sense of persecution, check. I think I might have mentioned it, but I may not finish a thought, but I mentioned that Ballard was accused of basically deceitfully and extensively grooming female employees who were going on these missions with him into role-playing as his wife during rescue trips, which, I mean, that's gross no matter the setting. Doing it on this under the guise of these missions to help kids is like a fucking, it's like a fucking Ninja Gaiden multiplier as far as how gross that shit is. So, yeah, this guy being a beacon of, you know, truth and justice in the American way, y'all, come on now. Like, can we talk about this? Like, that's a very gross allegation. I get it's an allegation, but holy shit, if that's even remotely true. I'm just reading a Vox article right now, but the film flat out, Jim Caviezel flat out urged fans to buy more tickets at the studio's website, Angel Films, by the way, in order to make Sound of Freedom the Uncle Tom's Cabin of the 21st century slavery. Holy fucking shit. Are you kidding? You know what? I'm going to stop talking about this because it is almost 9:30 at night. I told myself I would not talk about this till 10. And to be completely frank, I feel like I could talk about this until 10 o'clock. I will just say, near the end of the movie where he gets down to, like, you know, the main boss, essentially, the main boss of child sex trafficking, this guy named Scorpion, who of course has a scorpion tattoo, because why the fuck wouldn't he? He goes ahead and saves his sister and tells her, you know, close your eyes, which is actually the one bit of acting that I think Caviezel actually sells in this fucking movie, which I was flabbergasted by. But he tells her to close her eyes. She closes her eyes. We get about 5 seconds of him fighting Scorpion, and then it cuts to black. And I just went, fuck you, movie. Because this isn't even a big action flick. It's really just very dialogue heavy. And so, to be quite frank, why not make this under 2 hours? This is like 2 hours, 10 minutes. This could have been 1 hour 45. It didn't need to be over 2 hours. But this is where the film's self-indulgence really comes in, because it is just beating this drum of, oh my God, these kids being sold into sex trafficking. Oh my God, and this is terrible. I know I've said that some people are just going to say this isn't true. But there is a far-leaning right slant to this movie. There are crosses fucking everywhere. There aren't this many crosses fighting fucking vampires. There are crosses everywhere in this fucking movie. It's like, God damn, I get it. All right, this is for the oh my God. But yeah, the last fight scene is nothing. I will give the movie this. I do think that once Caviezel rescues the girl and he's trying to go ahead and get back to this boat that he went ahead and got to this part of the map on, when he's trying to go ahead and get back to the boat, I think that's, it's kind of shot kind of guerrilla style, and there's just enough lighting so you can tell what's going on, but enough darkness that it feels tense. And that's actually the one scene in the movie I kind of actually opened my eyes up fully at. And I was like, oh, that's actually decently shot. But at the end of the day, for a movie, this is a movie where it expects the subject matter to just carry the film without it doing any work. And that at its core is its biggest fucking issue. Taking all the scandals and bullshit out away from it, that's its biggest issue. And there's no one to connect to. It's an idea that you're connecting to. Kids being sex trafficked is bad. I agree with you. What do you have to say about it? And it has nothing. Not a goddamn thing to say about it. And I just went, okay, so who do I donate to? Oh, nothing? Because no one? Because the fucking founder of our Underground Railroad is a fucking, apparently, gross piece of shit? Awesome. So I would say, instead of donating to the creepy Underground Railroad, you know, fuck, United Against Human Trafficking. I just did a quick Google search here. Advocates for Human Rights. Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking. Donate your money there. Don't donate to this fucking movie, because this movie's not telling you anything that you don't fucking know at the end of the day. And one thing that this movie does do that I just kind of went, give me a fucking break. It really makes like these kids are just being taken off of the streets. Like that fucking scene in Old School. That's not the case. A lot of the times, most of the time, just doing the little bit of research that I did, most of the time, it's from, these people are sold into trafficking from people that they know or that they're familiar with. And the film never addresses that. It has this very Rambo-esque aspect to it that I went, you're not telling this story correctly. You're sensationalizing it. And I just, this is a go fuck yourself. I hate this fucking movie. It's right there if unplanned. I am too vain to kill myself, but if Jigsaw put me in one of those saw traps and he played Unplanned and Sound of Freedom back to back, I'd probably just like be like, dude, just drop the fucking thing on my head, the axe, whatever. Just end this shit, because I watched this over 2 days, y'all. I watched the first hour yesterday, which would have been Monday, and I watched the second hour today. With Milo, one of our cats, which is Tuesday. I fucking hate this movie. Like, I cannot believe this film exists. I can't believe this film made money. You know, there's always a glitch in the Matrix every so often, so one of these films was, one of these films, these break through every so often. You know, The Passion of the Christ was a giant fucking hit, even though it's torture porn. These things happen. Mistakes happen at the box office. And man, as much as I give Top Gun Maverick or Top Gun Maverick, I can at least say that's a great fucking action movie. If you're expecting Top Gun Maverick or Rambo or anything in that ballpark, you are going to be sorely disappointed. I will just go ahead and tell you that now. So this is the last thing I'm going to say about it. Mel Gibson, you know, as I mentioned, he's a producer on this. He went viral for promoting this shit, saying, you know, the first step in eradicating this crime is awareness. Go see Sound of Freedom. And the way that this was really being advertised, and I remember a very similar fashion, Passion of the Christ, where if you are remotely a Christian, it is your moral responsibility to go see this. That's part of the fucking marketing. And what I would say to that as a Christian is everyone who went ahead and got this film made, and everyone from the writers to Jim Caviezel. I'm putting none of this on the kid actors, by the way. I'm sure these kids are just trying to go ahead and get seen. And like I said, the kid who played Miguel, props to him. I thought he actually did a good job. Again, best actor in the film by a country mile. But Jim Caviezel and the producer Jean Paul DeJoria and Bill Camp, Eduardo Verigotsky, kiss my ass, every single one of you. I hate you all. You're all fucking terrible. I hate this. I honestly hate this. And the only reason I'm recording this right now is because I really didn't think I'd be able to sleep if I didn't. So I'm done. I don't want to talk about this anymore. This is damn sure going to be on my worst of list. It's just a matter of this or White Man Can't Jump. So I'm going to rewatch White Man Can't Jump, because I'm damn sure not watching this again. That's actually probably my answer. I think I just told myself which I hate more. God damn it. God fucking damn it. I fucking hate this movie. Okay. God, I'm done. I'm done. If there's any good that can come from this, because y'all know me, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. If there's any good that would come from this, it's that maybe people, this puts the awareness of this topic in the forefront, and people actually do their due diligence and do research on it. And that's what I will say in closing. Do your due diligence on this. Do some research. It is more often people that the kids know that sell them in the trafficking than them just being picked off of the street. I've said it earlier and I'm going to say it again. Fucking organized places for kids, unfortunately, and I'm speaking specifically on religion on this point, are often not safe for kids. Go back and watch the end credits for Spotlight and look at all of the cities that have had scandals reported. I'm from, I grew up in Pismo Beach, California. Fucking Santa Barbara, which is like an hour 40 from where I grew up. That was on the list. But seriously, y'all, watch Spotlight. I'm actually going through the credits right now, and I'm just going to read off a couple of the cities that they mentioned about where Catholic, where priest scandals occurred. So I'm just going to read off a couple cities. Albany, New York, Altoona, Pennsylvania, Anchorage, Alaska, Anchorage, Kentucky, Baker, Oregon, Baltimore, Maryland, Billings, Montana, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Briscoe Memorial, Washington, Brooklyn, New York, Burlington, Vermont, Camden, New Jersey, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, Charleston, South Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, Cleveland, Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio, Collegeville, Minnesota, Conway Springs, Kansas, Covington, Kentucky, Dallas, Texas, Davenport, Iowa, Denver, Colorado, Detroit, Michigan, Topeka, Iowa, East Greenwich, Rhode Island, El Paso, Texas, Fairbanks, Alaska, Fall Ridge, Massachusetts, Fargo, North Dakota, Farmington, Iowa, Fort Worth, Texas, Gallup, New Mexico, Goshen, New Jersey, Grand Port, Iowa, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Green Bush, Minnesota, Hannibal, Missouri, Hanford, Connecticut, Helena, Montana, Honolulu, Hawaii, Indianapolis, Indiana, Jackson, Mississippi, Gillette, Illinois, Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, Lincoln, Nebraska, Los Angeles, California, Los Gatos, California, Louisville, Kentucky, Manchester, New Hampshire. And that's just the first fucking page of the credits. And as I mentioned, a place I grew up close to, Santa Barbara, California, San Diego, California, Santa Bernardino, California, Sacramento, California, like Marty Indian School, South Dakota, Seattle, Washington, Spokane. Like, holy shit. Again, that's just me reading part. That's me reading one page. Like, y'all, So, yes, child sex trafficking, fucking terrible. Absolutely terrible. But the way that this film presents it, it presents it like it's an issue just in brown countries. And it's not. It's a problem everywhere. It's a problem in the States that we could fix if we would get some goddamn legislation going and actually, I don't know, tax churches. Let's do those things and go ahead and actually keep kids safe. This is a go fuck yourself. I fucking hate this movie. I hate the politics behind it. I hate the people that were hornswoggled into supporting this shit. And again, we're in an election year. Please think about what you fucking post and research it. If you're sharing an article, take the time to go ahead and actually research if it's accurate or not. Please, for fuck's sake, all right? I'm not even going to ask if you've seen Found Freedom. I don't even want to do my spiel. Just subscribe. You can find the show pretty much everywhere. You can find us on YouTube at The Real Pineapple. Go ahead and search us there. You can like, share, subscribe, and rate us. It definitely helps us out. Find us on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Music, Samsung Podcasts, and TuneUp, and Anchor, to go ahead and name a few at The Real Pineapple. Where else? You can find me on TikTok. You can find me there at jhunterrealpineapple. You can also find me on Letterboxd at Black Shazam. Got a question for the show? Got a review request? Just want to say hi. Shoot me an email at jhunter@therealpineapple.com. And you can find me on Blue Sky at realpineapple.bsky.social. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. So real quick, I unfortunately had like 30 reviews ready for y'all to go through the month of January, but my computer glitched and I lost all my reviews. So really fucking unfortunate. I'm pretty sad about that, but I'm going to go ahead and be re-reviewing some stuff here this weekend. So the week of like the, week of the 15th, we'll be back on a regular schedule, have reviews out every couple weeks. I got my Twitch banners done. So I'm going to be streaming. My first stream is going to be January 22nd at 4 p.m. 4 p.m. Pacific. I'm really excited. I'm going to be premiering my Worst Of on that stream. So I'm really excited to bring that to y'all. I'm really giddy. But everyone, thank you so much for listening. Oh yeah, since I'm going to be premiering on Twitch, you can find me on twitch.tv/jhunterrealpineapple. That's R-E-E-L pineapple. Thank you so much for listening, y'all. Thank you so much for your support. I will have reviews coming up here. I re-reviewed Aquaman. I was going to go see Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, so I actually might hold off on that review. But I'll have reviews up for Barbenheimer. I'm going to have a review for Barbie and Oppenheimer, of course, as well as a review for Killers of the Flower Moon. The Iron Claw. I'm going to be watching that tomorrow morning. I'm really excited to watch that. Going to be reviewing that. Going to be reviewing Talk to Me, Anatomy of a Fall, the new Queen Ava DuVernay movie, Origin. I'll be reviewing American Fiction. I'll be reviewing Creed 3. Oh my gosh, I've got a lot of reviews coming for y'all. But everyone, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your support. Stay safe. Take care of each other. Get your COVID shot. Get your booster. Get your flu shot if you haven't. And never forget, as always, to keep it real.